Obviously,
this is
an
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
I'd love to be Peter's dad.
And then I'd love to say good evening to Don.
You don't think you can love more than one guy?
And then I'd like to say good evening to myself. Brock Ward. I struggled with that a bit.
You know, there's one more thing that really annoys me. When people say irregardless, it's regardless.
Well, I agree with that.
Some senator said it during the impeachment hearings. In his big prepared speech, he said irregardless.
No.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to hear.
No. Elected official.
Well, there are a lot of things that get said by elected officials. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Easy.
I forgot. That was pretty telling.
Let them hate you for what they think you say, okay? Stop.
Even though I didn't say what kind of elected officials, because literally everyone spoke yesterday, basically.
Okay.
So, James Harden is a Brooklyn Net, and according to Eric Gordon of the Rockets, he believes they now have a real direction. I think it's an interesting subplot here, guys, the things that you're hearing from the Rockets. I understand it was like, we know what this all was, but it's not that common where it's done in such a way where the teammates are all alienated. Here's Eric Gordon. Obviously, you could tell from the summer and since the season started that he didn't want to be here. For us...
Expectation is a funny word because, I mean...
For us, I think it just gives us a chance to have a real direction. Everyone else on the team can hone in and not worry about his situation. We can just move forward.
If we weren't in the times that we're in where this is normal, it's an embarrassment what he did to get out of Houston.
No.
It's an embarrassment to his brand, to his desire to win. He came into camp fat, and then when he played, he didn't play hard. It's abominable. Now, he's going to be great for the Nets, and Net fans won't care. But when it happens to your team, you're not going to like it. When somebody pulls that act to get out of your team, that's terrible.
And Michael, it's so easy to say it's an NBA thing, but it's happening all over sports. Jamal Adams did it here in New York with the Jets, right? We saw it with Jalen Ramsey in Jacksonville. It's just those other sports, it's not as easy to successfully pull off. But in basketball, because the players are so much more important because you only dress like 8 or 9 of them, right? And one player can make that big of a move that you see it happen, I think, a little bit more often, and it seems to work itself out. I just hope we remember if they do win a championship that the narrative shouldn't all of a sudden change like he's some good guy. He left a lot of guys behind in Houston, and he did it in the worst way possible. And yet LeBron James gets vilified for having the decision. Meanwhile, he did it the right way. Played till his contract was up in Cleveland and then signed as a free agent elsewhere. You know what? Play it out. Play as hard as you can. Keep your body physically fit. And then when you become a free agent, you can have the pick of the litter where you want to go. But this getting out of contract and getting to the extent where you just really end up being a bad teammate and bad guy, I'm sorry. That should not be rewarded.
And it got rewarded, and no one's going to even think a second about it, but the people in Houston will know. It's terrible, and it's terrible what Kyrie's doing. You heard what Stephen A. said. The Nets are completely terrified and handcuffed because KD is still on Kyrie's side, and KD runs the team. So if they actually disciplined Kyrie or really went after him, KD would get upset. I mean, talk about a delicate balancing act.
Mm-hmm. Let's remember, when do the Nets play Houston?
I don't know.
No idea.
Because
that will,
I'm not sure.
It's going to be very interesting to see how his former teammates play against him, because everything we've heard is pretty strong feelings from these guys. And these days, in the modern NBA, you seem to see a lot of support for players, even when it seems like they're screwing the team. It's like players against management. Not in this case.
Well, because usually
he screwed
them
directly.
Like, you know, where the team they're on is god-awful and run poorly, or that player was treated poorly. Like, maybe there might have been players saying, hey, listen, if I was on Jacksonville, I would pull the same thing Jalen Ramsey did. If I was on the Jets, I'd do the same thing Jamal Adams did. But this is a guy that was on a good basketball team that went deep into the playoffs. Did I miss something? Was he mistreated? Was that organization mismanaged?
I think the it's at Houston. What is it, March 4th, Andrew? March 3rd. Yeah. And one other thing, I've told you guys this too.
That'd be one of his load management games.
Could be. No, but he doesn't do that. That's one thing he has going for him. He plays every day. But
right.
I will tell you this. Players could do anything to anybody, and players will support players. I could be lying on the floor, and if a player came by with their spikes and ripped it across my face and another player saw it, would never say a word.
Well.
The player was right for kicking my face in.
Outwardly. Like, I don't think anybody will kill him publicly because the shoe may be on the other foot. But deep down inside, his teammates, I'm sure they wouldn't say it outwardly, but privately they might be like, that's a bad move.
Well, I mean, the Rockets are saying it outwardly, and that's good that Peter brought that up, what Eric Gordon said. But for the most part, players will support players because they feel like they are the people that they're held down by the man.
I don't think that's the case of the NBA. Like I said, in the NFL, because you only play a short period of time, your contract for the most part is not guaranteed. You know, I still think it's wrong to do, but you can maybe understand it a little bit more. I'm not sure where any of these players would have a kick coming. And you don't think it can happen to you? You don't think it's possible? Let's say Kyrie doesn't return. And let's say that this turns out to be a disaster. You don't think there's a scenario in which all of a sudden he might be pulling this with Brooklyn in 2 years?
Speaking of disasters, that's what I'm predicting based on basically nothing except my history and thoughts on college coaches, with Urban Meyer going to Jacksonville. But you don't care what I think about Urban Meyer and Jacksonville. You care about one of the smartest football minds we all know, Louis Riddick.
Changing the culture around down there in Jacksonville so people believe that they can win, and getting players to really buy in and believe in the system that he would put into place, that they would really believe that they could win. Number two, obviously getting the quarterback situation squared away. Everyone believes as though that would be Trevor Lawrence. And then putting a system around him that would make him as successful as possible.
What do you guys
think?
The thing
I worry about with this hiring, Urban Meyer is kind of burned out in two places.
Hmm.
I mean, the pressure on an NFL coach is going to be enormous. I mean, he really left. I mean, he had some outside things going on, but there were health issues involved.
That's right.
Like, because he just, every loss takes another year of his life away, it seems like.
And I'm sorry, they're not close.
No.
So what's the over under on him being in Jacksonville? Never mind, like, bad fired and short, but just because of the health situation. What was it, 2.5 years probably?
Yeah,
and this
much.
Whole idea, do you really think they're taking Justin Fields, really?
No.
Come on. That's ridiculous.
I just don't see it working.
When does it work, Peter? When does it work? Jimmy Johnson? Give me Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll coached in the NFL before he went to college. When did it work?
Well, and also, Pete Carroll wasn't like a superstar college coach. When does it work when the
Pete Carroll was a superstar in
he was?
USC. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He
was big. But
he won a national title.
So he was a head coach of the NFL before he took that USC
right,
job.
Right, right. Yeah. Okay. So,
twice.
So how often did someone who did not coach in the NFL first become a superstar coach in college and succeed in the NFL?
Jimmy Johnson.
But you talk about, like, just, you know, Nick Saban was not successful 2 years in Miami. He was 9-7 first year and then 6-10.
And you can laud him however much you want. Cliff Kingsbury hasn't done anything with the Cardinals.
Steve Spurrier, no.
Nope.
Lou Holtz, no. Why am I vegging on his name, Andrew, in Philly? Disaster.
Oh, Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
Oh, that was really rough.
And listen, there's been college, but like Kingsbury wasn't like high profile like Urban Meyer. We're talking like
He got fired in college.
Right, but I'm just saying, like there's been plenty of coaches that came from like that had experience in college or whatever.
Oh, Dennis Erickson.
You know who did well? He wasn't a star coach, and he did he didn't coach. He coached as an assistant in the NFL. Tom Coughlin with BC.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he was like he was an assistant coach in the NFL.
Yep.
Wanted the Giant job. Giants didn't pick him. Went to Boston College. But, you know, because you get into and how long was Tom in BC?
I think 2 years maybe. I think.
Like these established great winning college football guys. I ask the question all the time. Is it their coaching or their recruitment? That they're great recruiters, they get the best talent, they win. The winning helps them get even more talent because everybody wants to go to play there. And then you go to the NFL, and guess what? You can't dangle a scholarship in front of somebody. You can't threaten to bench a guy because you don't have the same power in the NFL that you do in college football. Now you got to treat these guys like men. And now it comes down to can you coach? Because the talent's not that much different across the line of scrimmage. Because of all the sports, Peter, the NFL's the one that I think the mano-a-mano matchup is the coaches. I got to try to out-coach you. Because in most cases, how much is there a discrepancy in talent on an any given Sunday basis? Most of the time, it's negligible, right? It's who's got the best coach, who's got the best system, who executes the game plan the best that wins the game.
I know you don't give a lot of...
Not who spends the offseason signing every free agent and convincing guys to come join them and play like they do in college.
I know you don't give this guy a lot of credit, but he won a Super Bowl, Barry Switzer.
Well, he has to be included as a success, but again, Barry Switzer took over a dynasty and didn't touch it.
But
you know, he did have
but
to
he
coach.
Finished his career 45-26 with a Super Bowl. You have to view it as a success.
But
and he was a college legend. So.
But I'm telling you, if he had got hired by whatever the worst team in football was, like Jacksonville is right now, you think he'd be able, in a 2 or 3 year period, build that up into a championship program?
Right.
Or did he walk in there and say, Jimmy Johnson left me a Hall of Fame quarterback, a Hall of Fame running back, Pro Bowlers all over both sides of the ball. I'm not going to mess with it. But you're right. I just said it. You got to outcoach the guy in front. You got to put together a game plan. But, again, if you want to include Barry Switzer, we just threw in Jimmy Johnson. Who else?
Harbaugh did well. And then left.
What do you mean Harbaugh did well? He did well in the NFL.
Right. But he was college first, no?
No.
Yeah.
It was Stanford first, then San Francisco.
Yeah, Stanford first.
So someone going the proper direction, it would be Bill O'Brien, who will be heading to Alabama, finalizing a deal to become offensive coordinator for Nick Saban.
I'm sure he'll be fine there.
I'm sure. And we don't need him head coaching in the NFL right now. I mean, I don't call for anyone's job, but my God. Andrew Thomas of the Giants, their left tackle, posted a photo yesterday on Instagram of his left foot wrapped in a cast along with the caption, "Everything went well. Thanks for the prayers." He had ankle surgery to correct an issue that was known when he entered the league and had nagged him since training camp, and he waited to get it fixed till the end of the year.
So I guess that's a good thing?
He's expected to recover by March.
That's also good, but maybe so we can expect him to be better next year, right?
Perhaps, if it's been nagging him since camp.
It tells you something about this kid because he heard it worse in camp and played through it. He probably was in pain every single game he played.
I'm sorry, was this public? Did he complain about it?
No.
Did he tell the world? Like, no,
nope.
That shows me something, right? Guys getting bashed at what an awful pick it was, and you know, the Jets did the better thing waiting and they took the better tackle. And that all might be true, but you know, this kid was hurt and never used it once as an excuse. Good job,
Juju Smith-Schuster is denying rumors started by Pat McAfee on his show, where he said Juju came out and said he wants to play in a major market to build his brand.
Now, I'm glad you brought up Juju because I want to say something about him this week. Remember he said the Browns is the Browns?
Yeah.
That was his quote. The Browns is the Browns.
That's right.
That bothered you.
I sat back and I Googled him and I said, USC. I wonder how the people at USC feel about that.
Wow.
A guy that went to your school, matriculated through your classes, says the Browns is the Browns.
See, at first I thought you were going to be talking about why are you giving someone bulletin board fodder because now you look like a fool. But now I realize.
He's the grammar police, man. More so than we got to come up with a drop for it. More so than narcomania.
And I got to tell you.
Literal man.
You know how
this
many
is,
young
this
children
is grammar
listen to
man.
The show?
I got to tell you. It's grammar mania, brother. The English language was designed for a reason. You got to take your prayers, eat your vitamins, and use your grammar correctly, brother. That's a mouthful.
No, take a walk. I'll just check out.
You know, I feel bad. You know, I feel bad for all this. I feel for Charlie and Callie. My parents correct me quite a bit, and I love them. They are sweet, and I communicate for a living. And I understand they don't want me to make a fool of myself. And I appreciate that. I don't want to be Jake Tapper. But that's, well, you know what? That sort of fits here. There are times when they correct me in a way, they don't even realize. Correcting someone's grammar is inherently so obnoxious. Hmm. Even if it's helpful. Don, do you know what I'm saying? Even if it's helpful, it's very hard to do it and not kind of make the person feel silly.
Well, especially now since a lot of it's just kind of accepted. It's not even about like he proofread and realized it was wrong. Is that that's just how people talk now. Listen,
to that doesn't mean we should accept it as a society.
Well, no, I think you. Just
I think
have
there's
to
worse
deal
things
with
being
it,
accepted.
Move along.
But don't let it.
I won't. You know, I won't do it anymore.
Well,
I would recommend, for your own personal health. Everybody,
that you don't.
Go talk like complete cretins. Good. I'm good with it. I won't say a word. Do it.
But back
it.
To
make
the original point,
like an idiot.
You wanted to change the subject.
When you walk on the quad at Harvard and you say stuff like that, people are going to look down their nose at you.
All right,
but
great.
That's fine.
And I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster cares what some guy with patches on the elbows of his tweed jacket think of him.
Mr. Smith-Schuster.
But getting back to the original point, do you really think it's humanly possible to lose out on endorsements because you're a Steeler?
Yeah, Terry Bradshaw seems like
possible?
He's done well.
Juju quote tweeted the McAfee clip and wrote, "Sources tell me this is completely 100% false, LOL."
I can believe that.
Yeah, why? Come on, dude. It doesn't get bigger than the Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, well, one place, and they stink. So you might as well stay
in
Pittsburgh.
Every time you turn on your television, I mean every time, five times an hour, you're seeing Baker Mayfield on a commercial. He plays for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. So stop, Juju, if
that's
you
not a
say
thing
that.
In the NFL. There's no market size in the NFL. You're playing in the NFL. And if you're a good team, then you're going to get recognized, okay? And maybe in baseball, playing for the Marlins hurt you. But Peyton Manning was able to host Saturday Night Live and literally be in like three commercials a break and play in Indianapolis.
The UFC has essentially struck marijuana as a punishable offense in its anti-doping policy.
Good.
According to USADA. So, beginning retroactively January 1st, a positive drug test for THC, which is, of course, guys, the good stuff.
Wow,
cannabis,
drugs must be great.
It will no longer be considered a violation unless USADA is able to prove that the athlete intentionally used it for performance-enhancing purposes.
Was that a blunt? Don't we have to stop this? I mean, it's being legalized everywhere.
Right. And honestly, if a fighter working out or recovering from injury, isn't it better for them to smoke a joint than take, some kind of painkiller that they can get addicted to?
I think you're right.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And lastly, on this day in history, 2012.
Third down, Alex takes the snap. Alex looking.
He's got it.
The post, and it's
got it.
Caught. Touchdown. Touchdown, 49ers. Vernon Davis with the play of his life.
One of the all-time steps in the history of broadcasting. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening.
Ranger pregame coming up. Don, are you doing it?
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And then the big Ranger opener against the Islanders. We'll have a big football Friday tomorrow. Enjoy your night, everybody. Enjoy the hockey. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.